Welcome, dear listeners. This is the Devon Dice Podcast, episode 70, without a script, but with a Lewis.
Hello.
So, got no script, I've got nothing, because I just forgot until today.
That's cool.
So, I think this is episode 70, I have got Lewis all the way from New Zealand back on the line to tell us his antics he's getting up to in New Zealand.
Hello, everyone. New Zealand correspondent here. Nothing much is happening in New Zealand, but that's standard.
Are you getting games in?
Not as much as I would like still, actually. We just had the family come over. So they were here for sort of 3 weeks. So that cut down the standard sort of gaming group. But we've played a fair bit, but nothing new. I've just got my mini collection that I've got out here because obviously we're coming back in a few months. So there's no point in kind of expanding the collection here. I've got to send it all back. I play a lot of Clank in Space. I feel like I'm a Clank in Space expert now.
Do you hear about the new expansion?
Sorry?
Do you hear about the new expansion?
Oh, the legacy element.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. For Clank in Space, they got new expansion coming out.
Oh, have they?
Yes.
Oh, wow. More modular boards? I'm all about the modular boards.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the last podcast. I can see you're a very busy person.
It's a long way over here. It's a long way. I don't know.
Oh, is it still trying to transmit over there? Is it?
I'm still downloading it.
So apparently, yeah, this is actually a big. It's actually coming with its own board now. We've seen pictures of it, and it's like a shaped like a figure of eight board. Because you actually are going onto the space station. It has got one of those modular boards in it, which you can then put onto the ship standard kind of modular board setup. So you've got two alternatives with it this time. It looks pretty interesting.
Is that Clank in Space Apocalypse?
Nope. Clank in Space Station 11.
I used to absolutely, as an aside, I used to be all about expansions. I used to love expansions. I used to think expansions were the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
But now I'm just so unconvinced. Like, there's so many games that come out that most of the time I feel I'd prefer to buy a new game with everything new than I would get an expansion for a game I've already got, especially one that's already got huge amounts of replayability built into it, like Clank in Space. Like, sure, if you love something, you want to just keep playing it. And I guess the Clanks, all of them, are that very low intro level. You can play with anyone, and you can whip them out any time. Most gamers have played it now, so it's a game you haven't got to explain, and most people will know about it and know the rules and most people be up for a game. So I guess there's an argument about having an expansion there, but I'm not loving expansions. I don't know why. I do know why. I should explain.
Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah, I can understand that, but then I still kind of get suckered into them. It's like, yeah, I've got to have them all and see what happens.
I guess if it's a game with a storyline, like a campaign, so like if they ever released an expansion for Mechs versus Minions with like another campaign,
yeah,
whatever the price, I'd buy it instantly because I had so much fun going through that campaign and I'm not bored of the design of the game. I think, I would like to carry on that story and carry on that adventure, having such a good time, like I had with Rach, my wife. But so maybe like if I had Mice versus Mystics and I was going through that with the family and the kids, I'd get the expansions. Yeah, probably I would. But something like Clank, where it's, you know, it's a proper game, where a proper game, as I like to call it, where you do those bits every time. Like you do the same bit every time, even if the board slightly changes. I just think there's no need for it.
Okay. Yeah, see that. What else were you going to say you were playing?
My four-year-old into, and a little bit two-year-old, but she doesn't really play very well, into Ticket to Ride, First Journey.
Yeah.
That's a really good game, actually. I've been playing a shed load of King of Tokyo.
Yeah.
And that is because I bought it because I was in the shop in Christchurch and it was a battered old box and I think they knocked about 15 quid off it or something.
So it's still about 50 quid then.
Well, yes. It's eye-wateringly expensive, isn't it? I couldn't get over how expensive it was. And I thought, like, oh, my little boy will like monsters and stuff and he likes throwing dice. But Reese hasn't, my four-year-old hasn't quite got into King of Tokyo. He doesn't quite get it. But having said that, I bought it for cheap and I took it to the game group. And bearing in mind, the game group that I go to is an intro game group. Like,
yeah.
They're barely out of the Catan, the Splendors, the Ticket to Ride games. They're kind of barely out of that. But I took that over there and they loved it. And they love that. They play it all the time. It's partly because it does a lot of people as well. So it's that makes it quite useful. It goes up to six players. The other thing we've been playing a lot is dice fishing. Still playing a lot of that.
Okay.
Rhino Hero. Been playing that with my kids. They get that. Mysterious Forest.
Okay.
That's the EM game based on the...
Yes.
The online comic book.
Yes.
It's basically a memory game, but it's quite good fun. My kids like playing that.
Yeah.
Rory's Story Cubes, been playing with those quite a lot. And then a fair bit of Seven Wonders Duel.
So when you get home,
I'll tell you what hasn't been on the table much.
All right.
Which is remember a while ago I bought the Big Book of Madness.
Yeah.
Another ELO game that's a cooperative game where you kind of, it's a bit kind of Harry Potter ripoff where you opened up the Book of Madness, you've got to try and defeat the monsters and close it, and it's basically a mini deck builder, cooperative with sort of superpowers. I've played it a few times, maybe three or four, but no, considering my small game collection, it's had a very low level of play. In fairness, it's probably me. I just never feel like it doesn't quite fit.
No.
The game's fine, but it's not great.
Fair enough.
And that's it. That is my... Oh, I tell you what I did play.
Okay.
I played... What was it called? Spirit Island.
Oh, yeah.
That game that everyone's been banging on about. That cooperative. It's basically, if you like Pandemic, it's Pandemic. It's the same sort of puzzle re-bottled. Which is really quite good.
Okay.
And there's a bit less complete randomness to it where things are going to pop up. You can see what's going to happen in the future a bit more, which makes it a bit more strategic.
Okay.
But yeah. Have you played that?
No, I haven't yet. Heard good for like people raving about it, but I don't think it was fully cooperative. But maybe I was
the
missing.
One that I played was fully cooperative.
All right.
There might be different ways of playing it. I was only shown one way.
Maybe. So I might be completely wrong myself.
With Spirit Island, you're basically you've got an island, and you're all spirits of an island, and there are some colonial colonists coming in to establish and colonize the island, and you basically have to. Scare them off / kind of defeat them so that they don't come and destroy your land. But they kind of they start as like a little settler man, and then they make like a town, and then they make like a city, and it kind of goes in rounds, sort of a bit like Pandemic, between sort of everyone's go, the Oh, it's not between everyone's go. It's in everyone's round. Each round, the settlers do something. So that's new settlers appear in a random places where on the turn of a card. And then what's quite interesting is that card kind of slides down each time.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off with, you know, just settlers arriving. But then next time, new settlers arrive in a new card. And then that other card, the first card that was from the first round, moves down. And then wherever the settlers, they build a town. And then that'll go again. So now you've got kind of three things happening. So you get more settlers arriving, you get more towns being built, and anywhere there is a town, they basically pillage it and trash the land and make it rubbish.
So
you've got that kind of cycle going on, and then you've basically got kind of different kinds of currency, and you've got a hand of cards that plays a bit like Concordia.
Okay.
So, you know, you got your hand of cards, you can get more through actions, and then you play a card down, and it'll do whatever it does. But then to get your cards back, you have to take a whole action to pick up your whole deck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like Concordia in that sense. But you've also got a limit to how many cards you can play a turn, and you've also got a limit to how much each there's like, I think it's like mana cost or something that each card's got to cost.
Right.
So so you can do so you kind of have to combine those two. I was the rock guy who seemed to have he had a lot of stuff to spend on cards, but was only allowed to play very few cards. So. But then you can upgrade yourself by spreading out your power.
Right.
As you kind of spread across the board. And then as you upgrade yourself, you kind of get better and better and you can play more cards and blah, blah, blah. And the cards do funny things like sometimes it's as simple as just killing all the people in one area, or sometimes you've got these other kind of little, they're native villagers. They look like mushrooms. And if you can kind of make the native villagers kind of outnumber the settlers, then you can kind of kill the settlers off before they can build their village and things.
So the villagers like fun guys, are they?
They love a laugh.
Party guys, fun guys. Anyway, so
see, everyone's raving about it, and you know, I went into it with a bit of a kind of eye roll. I'm normally steer clear of things that get raved about because they, I'll always give them a go, but they always seem to disappoint. But you know, I wasn't disappointed. Someone who loved Pandemic back in the day before, unfortunately, it just got a bit stale because I overplayed it to extreme. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good way of revamping. That sort of style of game. It's that very cooperative kind of game. And I don't know if there is a way to play it semi-cooperative, but that's not how I played it.
Okay, maybe I got it completely wrong. So
there might be different rules for it.
I don't know.
Oh, hang on. Maybe there was something about points.
Is it like Marvel Legendary where you... You work together, collecting points of who you kill off, and then score up who done the best.
Now you've mentioned that, I vaguely remember something like that happening at the end, but I don't think any of us played that way the whole time. No, it can't be, because there are times when, you know, there's one character whose basically job is they can spend the whole time making other people better, like faster and quicker and doing other bits, because you have kind of slow cards and quick cards. And you want the fast cards because they go before the settlers start spreading, so if you can take them out early, and then maybe that's not semi-cooperative. Maybe there's a way of doing it, but I don't think there is.
So you'll be itching for a decent competitive game when you get back to the UK.
Yes. And I'm still like disproportionately excited to the level that I'm pretty sure there's no way it can live up to the hype of Monumental. I bang on about it every time, but I'm just like, I get the emails every week, like, oh, it's so closer. And as soon as when I get back, it'll be waiting for me.
Talking of wit.
What have you got? Oh yeah, that little goblin game that we got. Skulk Hollow.
That's exciting. That's your copy.
Oh, that's exciting.
I find that funny. You couldn't even remember telling me to order one for you.
No, yeah, that was the crazy thing, because I vaguely remember that happening. Like, you text me saying, oh, Skulk Hollow's here, and I quickly checked my emails and my stuff going, I've not had any updates about Skulk Hollow. I really wanted this game. I'd forgotten that you were getting it, and I was like, I really wanted it. Oh, did I not order it? Oh, that's really annoying. Oh, I can't believe I missed that. I really wanted that game. That looked really interesting, like a nice little asymmetrical two-player. Oh, cool. Oh, that's really upsetting. And then I suddenly went, oh, hang on. And then I text you going, did you order both copies?
Because it was cheaper, two copies, wasn't it? So
it was, yeah.
So that's waiting for you when you get back as well.
Oh, that's exciting. Because I live for my weekly updates from my Kickstarters telling what's coming, because I wasn't getting them. I'd completely forgotten I'd got that. Have you played it yet?
No, I haven't even taken the shrink off mine yet. I was trying to convince Claire the other night, like, shall we play it? And she says, do you know how to play it? I said, I don't know if it'd be that hard. She goes, no, I'm not playing anything you don't know the rules of yet then.
Okay.
Looks like I've got to learn it before we play it.
Yeah.
I am trying to stop buying games at the minute because I am flooded with unplayed games, which is depressing. Oh,
you need me back, mate.
I know.
You need me back.
I do.
We played everything when I was there.
I know. I mean, just having Karen and Nigel, it's like it's fortnightly trying to...
Is it fortnightly? Oh, yeah. Disgusting.
So I've got this one I've been trying to play as well.
What's that one?
Is it backwards in your
screen? Sierra West.
Or is it the right way around?
Yeah, I can see it. Sierra West.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a Western game.
Western games.
It's actually quite a cool little... I played a bit of it when I was at UK Games Expo, but you've got this mountain at the top here.
Yeah.
And you've got player board. And you're selecting cards, and you've got to arrange them so they make actions for you to walk along. And when you walk along, you collect the actions. And then your guide climbs a mountain, and when he gets to the top, you can claim one of the cards and add it to your hand. So it's kind of like a deck builder in a way. Yeah. But then it's got 1, 2, 3, and 4 game modes.
Oh.
All slightly different to the original. Adding different.
And yet you've not even played one of them?
Not played any of them yet. Again, I tried to get Claire to play it. She said, do you know how to play it? I said, well, I know partly. I know mostly. She goes, again, I'm not playing it if you don't really know. So I took the shrink off of that one and started learning it. I mean, I was having a bit of a drought of not playing games since the last podcast we played. So that's why I'm probably doing one now. And then I thought I'd get you one. But then last night I went to UK. No, I went to Meeple's Corner because he's in his new shop now.
Yeah.
And played two games.
Where's his new shop?
Where's his new shop? Like 100 metres down the road from his last shop. But it's actually a shop. It's not like inside that centre bit now. It's actually a shop. So and it's got good space to play games in it. So,
cool.
Right now, played two games, and both of them actually very similar to each other, and I think they're from both the same designer. I might be right on that. But anyway, played two games, and the second game I played, actually, I really liked, and that was called Rosetta. No, it wasn't. What was it called? Ragusa.
How do you spell it?
R-A-G-U-S-A.
Ragusa? Oh, yeah. New. Came out this year.
Yeah. I think this was kickstarted. I might be wrong.
Looks pretty heavy.
Yeah, it looks heavy, but it's not. It's really simple. And I think that's why I kind of liked it, in that sense that it's so you're looking at pictures of it now, I take it.
Yeah.
So you have your, the straight from the box, right? So the guy, Dave, he actually picked it up from the shop that night, and he literally opened up the shrink wrap and we put it out there. He'd already like read the rules and that beforehand, but like you can practically play this game straight out of the box. It's like you open up the main box and inside is small boxes of your colour with all your pieces inside, which is, you take orange, you take blue, you take purple, blah, blah, blah. And then there's like a couple of packs of cards just to open. One card is like orders, shipping orders, which get shuffled and put down. And then the other pack is cards for the players. And you're basically, you can see on here, it's made lots of hexes on this island of Ragusa. And in each middle of the hex is a resource, possibly. Most of them are resources, except for the ones in the city are kind of actions. And where you place a house on the outside of a hex, on a corner of a hex, you get that resource, and you get the resources of the hex it's connected to. So you might put it in a middle where you'll get like wood, olives, and stone. And you turn up these kind of dials on your player board to say what you collected. And they kind of stay permanent throughout the game. They don't really go up or down. They might in certain circumstances, but...
Bit like Seven Wonders.
Yes. That's right, yeah. So it's always there. Sometimes, like fish, you can actually trade away to get other stuff, but most of the time they will stay there. So you've got to collect that. The thing was, and it's a little bit difficult, like when you're first playing it, if you place a building on the outside of the same hex, if you've already got a building there, you have to pay either 2 wood or 2 stone, depending where that, like where it is. Like wood is for outside of the city, stone is for the inside. So your first placement of a building on a hex is free, but if you want to place another building on that same hex that it's connected expensive. To, then you've got to pay, you've got to have 2 wood in your infantry. You don't lose that wood. It always stays there, but you've just got to be producing 2 wood. And again, if you want to put a third house down, which I don't know why you would want to, you need to have 3 wood and so on and so forth. So that was a bit difficult. And I kind of fluffed that up because I thought I had 2 wood. Not wood, stone. I thought I had 2 stone. Well, I only had 1, and I was starting to put houses in the city, trying to like make myself better. Until someone spotted it later on and says, "Oh, you couldn't have done that because you've only got 1 stone." I was like, "Crap, yeah." Now what do I do? And they said, "Well, the only way to fix it is if you put a building out near a quarry and just up your stakes like that kind of thing." So, which everyone was happy with.
So you ruined the game, Joel.
Yeah, I put an asterisk to it.
Did you win?
Not quite. I tied with first place, and then he won on the tiebreaker. So all these goods, like you can collect wine, you can get grapes, and you can collect silver, and you can collect olives. You can, in the city, there's places where you can turn these products into like actual wine, oil and silver bars, which are more infantry that goes up and down on a sliding scale.
And so then, if you've got access to those things all the time,
yeah,
like, and you've got access to grapes and you've got access to them making wine, do you just instantly get wine?
If you've got to still put a house on a hex where like the winery is, so if you've got two fields producing
grapes,
you've got 2 grapes in your infantry. Once you put a house on the hex of the winery, you get how many grapes times how many houses in that area of the winery, and you get that many barrels.
Oh, so the action just happens when you do it.
Yeah.
The resource lasts forever. Okay, that's cool.
So I would get 2 wine, and I'll move my slider up 2 wine. Same with like the oil and the silver. And if I put a second house in that same hex, then I'll be making 2 times 2. So I'll get 4 wine. Yeah?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, fine.
Two houses in the in a winery, two houses near fields that producing grapes. You times it, basically it times up. So you could, if you had a nice little system, make a lot of wine or make a lot of oil. You can then use this wine and oil or silver to buy ships that are coming in with produce, like silks and feathers, I think they were, gowns and things like that. And they have victory points on it. So when you pay that, you actually lose the wine or the silver. You move the slider down and you actually take the products and score the points on it. And they can vary from 2 points to 5 points, I think it was. You have some hidden objectives or hidden goal cards or something to be doing for the game. There's places where where you can sell your produce. So there's even like a stock levels of wine, oil and silver at the top of the main board. And
oh yeah,
that gets affected. So
like
when
market prices.
Yeah, market prices. So when you buy or when ships come in and you trade for their goods that are coming in, a card will replace the one you took. And on the back of the card is, like, it might affect wine. Wine might go up by 2. Or it might go down by 2. It depends what's on back of the card. And then it reveals what goods it's coming in. Plus, also, if you sell goods via a hex on the board, it every time you sell, the price goes down. And there's other scoring bits on there. You can also, there's another element to it, and it's a little bit weird, but you can also build walls and towers around the city. And every time you build parts of it, you get points. And at the end of the game, if you've got a long chain of walls and towers, you score more points.
Sounds quite original. I haven't heard anything else that's exactly like that before.
I think it takes a lot of elements of different games. Like if, for instance, it's got the element of Settlers of Catan. It's hex bases, resources in the middle, build towers. The building the towers around the city is, I think, quite a few games out there. Madeira, I think, is one that has the towers and the walls being built around. Looks very reminiscent of that. I think it takes a lot of different games and puts it all into one and actually makes it a really good game. I really enjoyed it. And you keep going, you start off with 10 buildings, and once everyone's placed all their 10 buildings, that's the game over. So,
how long did it take?
It took us about 45 minutes, 60 minutes, I think, to play. I can check it.
Wow, that's good timing.
Oh, yeah. And that's learning the rules as well. What does it say here? How long do we do it in? Doesn't say. Oh yeah, yeah. Say 16 minutes. We're being taught the rules as well. So,
sounds good.
I should also say, when you build in the city, doing the actions. So, like, say you go to you build in the silversmith, and you've got silver that you can turn into silver bars or ore to turn into silver bars. Most of these actions rotate round the hex. So you place your building, you do your action, then it goes round clockwise. If someone's got a building on that hex, they get to take that action too, again. Oh. So it's advantage for you to get in there first, because when other people start building in there, you'll get that action again, which was another cool element to it. So.
That's pretty cool. Sounds good.
So, yeah. I liked it so much, I was actually considering it, like, getting it for my collection. Since I'm trying not to buy games, it's like, don't do it. So,
how did you hold off?
Sheer willpower and the fact that I've already brought Tapestry.
You're a god among men, Joel.
I already brought Tapestry this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know about Tapestry?
Rings a bell? No, tell me about it.
You know absolutely nothing because I don't have it yet. So, Tapestry, which was, again, talked about lots on the last two podcasts that we've been doing.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to them all dedicated.
So, Tapestry is the new Stonemaier game. It's a civilization building.
Yes, I've heard about this. Yeah, I do know about it. I've read about this. Yeah.
So the pre-orders went live this week, I think, Wednesday. And yeah, I had my phone ready to ping me to let me know what time I should be able to jump on to Jamie's site and pre-order it. I think, tell the truth, I went on there just on the chance at like 3:10. Now, it should have been 3:30. We should have been able to pre-order. 3:10 went on there and it was all on the page ready and I instantly bought. So hopefully I have one of these.
But it's all sold out now.
Yes, it is all sold out. Was it 25,000 copies?
Bloody hell.
And most of those is going to retail later on. Yeah. I don't know how many.
Jamie Stonemaier is doing very well. I was thinking about this just the other day. I was pondering as I was driving along. Yeah. I happened to be thinking about Jamie Stonemaier. And like, his games do outstandingly well sales-wise and, you know, in terms of hype and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But actually, thinking about it, there's only one Jamie Stonemaier game that I think is amazing. And that's Viticulture. And Viticulture is, like, I mean, Viticulture is easily a top 10 for me.
Okay,
like, it's an amazing game. But, I mean, what was that? That funny one with the...
Scythe?
No, Create a New Future or something.
Euphoria.
Euphoria? I couldn't get on with that at all.
No.
Scythe is fine. But I don't know. I still haven't quite mastered why everyone loves it so much. I find the battles too frustrating. Like, it's just kind of all a bit, yeah, I don't like the battle mechanic in that. It just upsets me.
You just know you're going to lose. If someone's going to attack you, you know you're going to lose. So.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have attacked you unless...
Yeah,
unless unlike you, they've got some ridiculous power that as you attack them, they steal your best card and then use it against you. I remember that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
usually
that happens
after the fight. But
sorry?
So I thought that it's been a while since I played it.
You did not play that with me after the fight. You stole my best card with my guaranteed win.
Maybe. Maybe you that was an after thing where maybe it was a power like once you defeated me, I get your card or something like that.
No, it was you randomly drew one from my hand. So in fairness, you could have drawn like my low one, but you took my one that I was literally about to use against you. Anyway, that rubbed me up the wrong way. But in general, like I didn't hate the game because of that. I don't hate Scythe. Like, I'd play it, but it's just a bit like meh.
Yeah.
And then Wingspan wasn't his, was it? But that's Stonemaier Games released Wingspan, didn't they? But it's not actually his.
No.
I've not actually played that, but that's supposed to be quite good. A lot of people like that. So I can't comment on that, but it's not his. So. I mean, what else has he done? I can't remember his other stuff.
Between Two Cities.
I've not played that. Is that any good?
It's okay. Then they done Between Two Cities of Mad King Liquid, which was better. But Or Charterstone.
Okay, I did like Charterstone. Fine, yeah, I'll give him Charterstone.
You completed it.
I don't know if it's a top 10 for me, but it's a top 20.
Yeah.
That was a good game. Okay, I'll give him Chartstone. I quite enjoyed that.
Just trying to go. There's loads of promo stuff on these.
There is, isn't there?
Viticulture.
Let's see if I can complete about Jamie. Sorry, Jamie, if you're listening. We're picking you apart.
You have to be careful because he I was reading on Facebook posts how he's dropped one particular reviewer for being too negative about his games.
So that's how he succeeds. In fairness, mate, he didn't send us much anyway, so I think we
did all right. Unfortunately, it wasn't us.
Viticulture, which, okay, Viticulture is amazing. We've done that one.
Yeah.
That's it. I think we've done it all now.
That's it, yeah.
So those are all his games. So I'd say he's got a 25% hit rate, really.
Some would say 100%, but I would agree with you, yeah. They don't all...
Well, I don't know. I've never met anyone who says they love Euphoria.
Oh, there's people that still love Euphoria.
Is there?
Yeah.
But, you know, he has made Viticulture, which is amazing. And Chartstone's pretty good. I'll give him that. But again, like, I think there are better games in that ilk.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised because Tapestry's, like, when he first announced it, I was just like, oh, yeah, all right, whatever. But then as I started looking into it more and watching what was being put out at the time, I was like, actually, I quite like the look at this. This might be interesting.
He's just a master of media, though, isn't he? He makes everyone think they like him. And then he gets everyone else selling the game for him by getting them so hyped up, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I will play it when I get back, and we'll play it, and I'll judge it, and we'll and maybe I'll eat my words.
It was funny because Christoph from Meeple's Corners also picked up a copy. And he announced that it should have it in time for the annual Meeple's Corner game day for everyone to play. So I said, oh, I've ordered a copy, so we should have two copies that everyone can play. And he goes, yeah, that's if you still have yours by then. <That's> like, you know me so well, Christoph.
So, are you even going to play it? Are you even going to open it?
Yeah, I will open it. Actually, I'm looking forward to actually playing it with the wife. I think it might work quite well with her. So,
does it do well with two players?
I think there's two player rules in a way, but I don't think it changes much. But we'll see.
Yeah,
one of those. And then the best news I've ever heard all week was Christoph saying that you can now pre-order the Clank Legacy game.
Oh, are you excited, Joel?
Oh, I am so excited about this game.
When's it coming out?
I think Christoph said October-ish, mid-October.
Are you going to save it for me?
No.
You bastard.
But I'd probably play it again.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if you've already played it, you'll have advantages.
Maybe. I might just try taking different routes if there is diversion with inside to it.
Can you play it more than once, or is it a destruction one?
It is a destruction one. But you can play it after you've completed it, a bit like Charterstone.
Yeah.
But it'd be your own kind of Clank game that you've constructed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I do believe, okay, you might see all the spoilers and what goes on, but I do believe it'd be one of those games that you could get another copy and just play again. So.
All right. Like nightmare being over it, I tell you.
Yeah, I know. Well, you decided to swan off over there, so.
Well, it's only a few months left now.
And the other good news, guess how many games I've won so far in competitions this year?
What competitions?
Well, I won a game at UK Games Expo.
Ah, you always get those lucky days. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Because you went around scanning bits, didn't you?
Getting that one.
Woo-hoo. That was it.
Don in the Purple.
Don in the Purple, that was something Roman, wasn't it? I remember that. Yeah.
And then I entered a Facebook competition and won a copy of Vecto Race, which is like racing game, but uses like the pathway system of Star Wars miniatures.
Oh, cool.
It's actually quite good. I quite enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And then, was it last week? Yeah, I think it was last week. I won a copy of the new 15th anniversary edition of Ticket to Ride.
No.
Yes.
How did you win that?
Again, Facebook competition. Like, it's what? Like, share, comment kind of post.
Oh, what? So you're basically somehow your Facebook's broken that you keep getting randomly selected in these... in these random draws of thousands of people. Some algorithm broken. Any Facebook competition you enter, you get the win.
Yeah. Claire keeps entering the competitions, like get like a weekend breakaway and some kind of...
the really high value.
Yeah, like hotel or like one of those kind of huts in the middle of a field kind of place. And she keeps entering those and commenting and like tagging me in it. And like she done one the other day and she goes, have you done it? Have you replied back and entered? Then we get another like vote or another entry into. I said, yeah, I said, but we won't win it because there's no board game involved.
Exactly. Well, you need to enter it on your Facebook. It sounds like your Facebook's got the algorithm somehow.
Well, yeah. But
I'm going to make a new Facebook profile, Joel Wright, and start entering competitions with it.
It's funny because it is only like, I think this one I remember is one of my friend entered the competition. I was like, all right, I'll give that a punt. I'll enter it as well, kind of thing. And he was probably a bit pissed off at seeing me win the game and not him.
You burglar.
It was quite funny because like, I don't know if we said, we left our original copy in Cyprus. So we didn't need to keep taking it backwards and forwards of Ticket to Ride.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
So all we've got here is a 10th anniversary edition. Which,
oh, boo.
Which doesn't...
I have the 10th anniversary edition. Looks cool.
It does look cool. It's very nice. It's very big. That's the trouble. That's one thing. It's very big. Takes up a lot of the table. And then also none of the other expansions fit with it. So well,
that's true. All the wrong size.
So then I was saying to Claire, maybe we'll wait for the 15th come out and I'll get that so we can then get some expansions. And there's no need to.
See through trains?
Yes.
It's on the 15th. What's so special about it, apart from see-through trains?
See-through trains.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Oh, well, at least in the 10th anniversary, we had, like, little giraffes sticking out the top of the bits, and they look cool.
Yeah. I can't remember if there's an extra. I think it's got the bigger cards, maybe. I can't remember if they're putting the expansion in with it. But, hey-ho, I'm happy with that.
Unbelievable. You win everything. What else has been happening?
Don't know. I am about to run out of battery on my laptop in a minute.
Oh, fair enough. Probably go and cook some lunch.
Yeah. Well, it's half past midnight here. So, but yeah, I don't know. Not much. It's been a bit slow. Now Tapestry's out. No one cares. No Kickstarters to shout about, I don't think.
I must admit, I haven't been checking because I it just depresses me. I kind of look at Kickstarters and go, oh, I can't even order them. Although maybe I should start looking because maybe I can now because they take about a year to come in, don't they?
Well, that's it. Yeah. By the time they do come around, you'll be back home.
Oh yeah. But yeah.
How many
have
you got sat waiting for you in the UK?
Oh.
You got Fireball Island.
Fireball Island, that dinosaur park.
Right.
That was done by Alley Cat Games.
Oh, yeah, okay. Dino World, you back.
Dino World.
Yeah.
That roller blade. I've got all the expansions for Seventh Continent.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
I sold all that.
Did you?
Yeah. Didn't work with the family.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. In fairness, well, yeah, I don't know. Well, I think my wife and I are in the middle of the main big adventure from the base game, and we're about 80% through it. But, yeah. Like, we haven't died. Everyone's like, oh, it's so hard, you die straight away. It's like, no, you're not. Just when you're about to die, you get something that makes you better.
Hmm.
So there's that. I mean, who knows? We might die now. I don't know if we're at the end or whatever. But I feel like we're pretty close. I feel like we're maybe 2 game sessions off the end, maybe, if we survive. So we've got that. What else have we got? What else have I got waiting? I'm sure there's those three. What else have I got? Hang on. Wait there. I'll tell you. Exploriana. That should be there when I get back.
No, it won't.
Why not?
Because Nigel is bitching so much about that. He said it's meant to be here months ago and they keep messing it around.
Oh, yeah, that's just Kickstarter.
I know.
His only other Kickstarter was Queen Games, who don't actually do it as a Kickstarter. They use it as a way of like selling their games, like pre-order.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's why his came on time perfect last time. I've got Kingdom Rush, but that won't. I don't know what that's next year, isn't it? Welcome to Dino World, Exploriana, Monumental, which is supposed to be end of October time, Fireball Island. Dinosaur Island. I did Dinosaur Island back to extinction. Yeah. The Seventh Continent expansions. That's probably it, really.
Yeah, I was just going through my Kickstarters at the minute and working out what... I think I've got about three or four of them literally, like, on the boat or, like, coming to be delivered. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna kill my shelf of shame even more at the minute. So
I'll be back soon, mate, and we'll smash through them.
We're gonna have to.
We'll have a game day.
We're gonna have to. I think I am gonna have to.
on my return, we'll arrange a with Karen and Nige. We'll have a whole full game day.
Yeah. Jetpack Joyride. That's late. That's on the boat.
Oh yeah, that was. I wish I'd backed that.
Monumental, like you. Imagineers. Something like that.
No, I didn't go.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, maybe Chocolate Factory is on its way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I meant to back that, but I didn't.
On the Underground. I think that's...
That was the one that you played.
I was so looking forward to that. Claire's going to love it.
Yeah, sounds good.
So yes.
We're both quite light on the Kickstarter front at the minute.
Oh, are we?
Are you not? What else have you got waiting?
I'll tell you what, a game you should check out, and you need to check out ASAP because it's got 3 days left. Merchant's Cove.
Yeah. Oh, I've just saw an advert for that.
Yeah, check that out.
Is it any good? What's it like? What is it?
It looks fun. It looks fun as anything. I think you'll like it in a way. It's basically each player is a different merchant, but they're asymmetrical ways of playing the people.
Do I like asymmetrical things, Joel?
I don't know.
You know I don't.
So like one of them, it's like an alchemist person, plays kind of potion explosion of creating potions. And then there's a forger, an armory forger person who creates armor, but it's a dice placement kind of way of playing it.
Oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah.
There's a captain that sails around different islands, a bit like Jamaica style, picking up stuff and doing stuff.
You mean Black Sea?
Blackfeet, yeah, Jamaica, that kind of thing. And you're all trying to make this stuff so you can sell it to the visitors that are coming in on these boats in future rounds. And, if it weren't that I've got so much already coming in, I probably would have backed this, but I just can't do it. I can't do it. I've got way too much on the horizon.
You're under the thumb.
I am. She will literally kill me at this rate. So, and there's some cool stuff, and then there's the couple of add-ons. You've got the Innkeeper, and the Oracle. The Oracle's like a roll and write kind of thing. So that's quite fun.
Oh yeah.
I thought that might be up your alley, and you can back, and then we can play your copy.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. Maybe I'll do that. When's it due for delivery?
I don't know. Actually.
Let's have a look. June 2020. I'll be back.
You will be back.
I don't know where I'll be living, but I'll be back.
You can stay in my shed.
Stay in your shed.
Yeah. Well, I film you everything.
You've already told me it gets too damp.
I'll put a heater in here. It's fine.
Oh, your generosity knows no bounds.
It's got electricity. It's fine. You got a Wi-Fi link down here. You'll be all right.
Got it all. What more could I need?
Yeah. So yeah. If you could do the honors and back this game,
cover it. You cover that base. All right. Bloody hell, is it? Not crazy. What is it? $80.
$80 for just the main board and the secret stash expansion, and then if you can do it all in and get the two extra expansions, plays up to 5 players. I don't see what
that's quite useful.
Yeah, I don't see what is that noise. Don't know. It's a weird noise. There's a weird noise in my shed. Don't know what's going on. Okay. Yeah, I don't see why you can't play 6 players, but I don't know.
It just says there are 2 different 5-player expansions. Maybe it doesn't work at 6.
That's what's moving. My mic's moving.
Let's have a look. The Innkeeper and the Oracle are the 5-player expansions.
Yeah. But if you had both expansions, why couldn't you go to 6?
Well, maybe it just doesn't work. Maybe it's just too slow or it breaks things.
Maybe. I don't know. It's one of those, it's got that, it's not a rondel, is it? But it's like, you take your turn if you're behind. So you see the clock at the bottom of the main board?
Yeah.
So you have discs on that. If you're the last, if you're the furthest one back, you take your turn and you take actions depending on what you're doing.
I quite like that. That's quite...
Yeah.
Because you can deliberately do lesser actions to... get to do more stuff in a row.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, Merchant's Cove.
Well, I'll have a look at it. I might well back it. It looks quite fun. What age is it for?
14 upwards. I don't.
It is true. 14 upwards. Blink me.
Yeah, they ain't done the testing on it, so that'd be generic.
Yeah. And it is true that you're the one who normally gets all the games, so maybe I should try. Well, in fairness, I do try, but you normally just get the games that I get as well. So it's hard to keep up with you.
Well, I am the one that's now got Tapestry coming in. So.
Oh, yeah. You better not sell that before I get there. I know what you were like.
Maybe
you know my rules.
You what?
You know my rules.
Yeah.
Selling is verboten. You should never have bought it in the first place.
I just need to play all the new shinies. I can't help it. I have a condition.
I have a condition.
And I'm sticking by it.
And you're currently going through a detox.
Well, if you could call it a detox, it's just deniability that I'm not going to buy any more games. So.
more of a weaning, as you still managed to sneak a couple in.
It's like you say, I'm going to stop drinking, but I might have a wine when I get home from work. It'd be all right. Just the one wine.
It'd be all right. Just the one, not the whole bottle for a change.
I haven't brought anything on Kickstarter because it's not here yet.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
And when it turns up, it just feels like a free game. Yes. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. And check out YouTube.
What's happened on YouTube? Have you done a video?
Yeah. Game you might like.
What is it?
It's called Mega City Oceana.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of that. Let me have a look.
So that's my latest video I've just put up. It was recorded at UK Games Expo, and it's basically playing Hub Games' new game, Mega City Oceana. Designed by Michael Fox himself, and you can see the playthrough of me playing with 3 other weird random board game enthusiasts around the table of this excellent dexterity building Euro game.
I do like dexterity, you know me, Joel.
I know you do. I think you're like this.
Is this the one we got to build it in the corner and then slide it in?
Yes.
Is that the one where you got really angry when someone knocked something or something?
No, I didn't. That was us playing Meeple Circus.
That sounds like something you'd do.
No, there was halfway through the game, Michael Fox was teaching us and showing us, and then he went to swap out with an assistant so he can go off and do other things. And as she sat down, she knocked the table leg and most of the buildings fell down.
Oh, yeah, that was it. I knew that something happened.
I didn't get angry. I was just like, oh, now what do we do? But there's a rule for that. But it was a shame because like there was some epic buildings in the middle kind of thing.
But
we still have fun. We had a great laugh.
That looks cool. I do like dexterity, you know me.
And it's not the full game, so don't think we're going to be sat there for like an hour and a half watching a full game. It's only like 30-minute long video. Mainly because my camera kept on shutting off every time I was recording it. I don't know why. I just look at it, it's like, oh, it stopped recording again. How much have I missed? So then I'll just press play, press record again. I think it's done it twice. So,
oh, that is annoying.
Yeah. But anyway, right. I am
on better bust the groove.
3% battery. So.
Well, it's good to chat to you, mate.
Yeah, you too. So, yeah. And you would have heard last podcast we got a new member to the podcasting crew. But you weren't there today.
I think I saw something on the WhatsApp group, didn't I?
Yeah.
Someone whose name.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Bill, one of Sam's friends.
Oh, cool.
Fairly newish to the gaming scene, so it's quite good to get his kind of view of stuff and have like someone that's kind of now a bit green to the to the industry. So
get to still be excited by things that we saw that years ago.
So yes, and the rate, I don't know if you've checked the ratings recently, they're actually quite good still.
I don't know. I haven't checked that. Well, thank you for still listening, people. That's very kind. Is it because I've left?
Yes.
More can be arranged above that if you prefer it. I won't stand in the way of success. I'll take the hit.
When you say success, it's like, yeah, minuscule to others. But anyway, never mind.
It's fine. We're doing it for fun, aren't
we? You're right. We're missing you at Game Club.
Yeah, I'm missing that. I'm getting serious withdrawal from that. That was the highlight of my week. That was.
Yeah. And like I said, it's gone fortnightly because Karen and Nigel can't seem to be able to do a week on week. So.
Oh, it's that bloody holly it is. Well, when I get back, it's coming back weekly.
Yeah.
I'm gonna strong arm.
And there you have it. Do apologise for the abrupt stop there, but my laptop did run out of juice and I had to rush off and try and plug it in and see if it recorded in time, which it did, thankfully. But towards the end of it, me and Lewis was just rambling on about life, so it wasn't very interesting anyway. And it was very late at night. It was nearly 1 o'clock in the morning for me and probably nearly lunchtime for Lewis. So we had things to do, like sleep and eat. So let's wrap this up and say a big thank you for listening. This was a very different podcast than normal. Like I said, no script, just me and Lewis jumping on the mics and having a good old chat. Please check out the website for all the reviews and everything else. Go along to our YouTube channel where I'm putting up videos, trying to be regular. That's at Devon Dice UK, and I'd like to say a big thank you for listening. I've been Joel Wright, host and editor of the podcast. You can find me at Depressed Monkey or at Devon Dice UK. You can find Lewis at The Brewery Tour. And thank you. Good night.